I want you to pray. Jess mentioned it a while ago. He mentioned it the other night, too, for a young man and his wife by the name of Bino. In the world, when Jess was in the world and David was in the world, Bino, I think, must have been a running partner with them. But I met him, and he was a very, well, really, I could tell he hated to give Jess up. He was moving out of a world that he was in, and I could tell he hated to give him up. But David coming in, and Jess, both of them, are making quite an impression on them, as I understand, and I would that you remember him very much. You say, why him, Brother Dear? Well, he is a living prospect. You know what that is? He's not one that's heard it 100 times and hadn't made up his mind yet. I doubt if he's ever been to church in years. And a change would mean something to him. There's a lot of burnt over fields, you know what I mean? A lot of people have done looked into it. They somehow didn't have within them that root to stand, and they never got the revelation, never got the desire, never got the hunger, never thirsted after it. And so lots of times we're always hoping that God will touch them yet. But there's nothing like new people. People that say, yes, I want to make a change. I'd like to be different. I'd like to be born again. And he seems to be a good prospect. All right, for a little bit tonight, I'm going to preach on. Really, I don't know what to name this, so don't worry about the name of it. I heard Jess say a while ago, I was already saying the same thing twice. Is that what it is? Well, I'll have to say it 100 times. I've been saying it for 37 years here, be 38 in November. But it's good that you still hear it. After all, you cannot do anything but preach the Word. Now, I have heard Cinderella preached, and I've heard the frog in the ditch, and I've heard the three pigs. And I've heard many, many, many messages, but the Word of the Lord can't change, and that's what you're supposed to preach. And so, and that's what you are to love and embrace. In fact, you are to put it on, be adorned with it. And so tonight, I'm still on a subject, or a group of subjects. Once you ever are first coming in and you are you're a little afraid of what you might run into out there. Well, they may, but if you know this, you're not afraid to run into anybody. But you have to know the subject of what you're on. So tonight I'm going to take a word here and work from there. Really, the Bible says prefer the brethren. I'll try to preach everybody, but right now I'm on this, and I'm going to remain here till I get about 12 messages behind me. All right. I'm going to talk about the word ambassador for a little bit. It is an official envoy of the highest rank sent to a foreign sovereign or government as a resident representative of his own sovereign or government. Paul said that we are ambassadors for Christ. And according to this, Paul would be, an official highest rank sent to a foreign sovereign or government as a resident representative of his own sovereign or government. Paul let everybody know that this world was not his home. He was just passing through. His residence was heaven. He was here as an ambassador in this world, being born again, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, being born again of water and the Spirit. He became, after dying and being born, he died out to sin, he became an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Now, you want to know something, you may say, well, who is it for? One of the greatest questions Moses had when he was getting ready to go into Egypt, he said, Lord, who will I say sent me? For that's one of the questions they're going to want to know, who sent you? What country are you from? And the Lord said, you just, I am that I am. Now, that doesn't mention or make a whole lot. It's just whatever you want to make me, if it's great, if it's clean, if it's mighty, if it's righteous, that's what I am. And so, for the beginning of this, and this will be a type of oneness preached, when you get to preaching on oneness doctrine, I heard a cutest saying the other night, you've heard of us being oneness, haven't you? And you've heard of us being one less, haven't you? But have you ever heard of us being one is? Huh? One is? Huh? One is. You bunch of oneies. Now, I've never heard that expression before. That was a new expression to me. In fact, I didn't really know there was such a word, but since it fits us so well, since Jess has already exposed us in that song, we're just a bunch of holy rollers. And now for somebody to call us a bunch of oneies, I thought that was real clever in them thinking that up. And I guess I'll have to confess that's what we are, just a bunch of oneies. Well, I've heard of moonies, and I've heard of commies, and I've heard of a lot of things, but I've never heard us call oneies before. Would somebody spell it for me? O-N-I-E-S, onies. All right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is Genesis 1 and 1. That did not tell you much. That did not tell you who God was. It did not tell you His name. It just told you that in the beginning, God did it. Now, there is not a whole lot that you could express there. Everybody in the world could own that one verse if they wanted to own it. And I don't know of a religious faith that would not say, in the beginning, God did it. But as far as leaving it right where it is, the Bible said, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible said, the entrance of His word giveth light. Now, that's the first verse. I think there's a lot of light in that first verse there. It said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I would like you to go with me as we tie three scriptures together, but we'll come back. Isaiah 44 and 24. But first, I wish that you'd, well, just take it that way. Don't take it any other way than just what I put it there. This is what it says. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer and He that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, and that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. He doesn't tell you a whole lot there either. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It tells you here, it even switches names on us, or titles on us. It said, the Lord said it. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and He that formed thee from the womb, and the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Now, since that is the case, that if God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth, And here it said the Lord said he did it, and he did it alone and by himself. Since he did it alone and by himself, and since God did it in the beginning, it is a fact that the Lord has to be God. The scriptures, the Bible says, cannot be broken. It would be broken if it were to change in this case. Because it said, in the beginning God did it, and in the Isaiah 44:24 said he did it alone and by himself. I want every one of you all to get me St. John 1:9. And I want you, I wish to everybody here, this is the most beautiful message in the world. If you ever get the picture, the revelation of it. But if you live without the revelation, you may be making fun of us and calling us a bunch of old onies. All right. Doug, what did it say?
That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
Read on.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
All right. The scriptures that cannot be broken. Watch them tie themselves together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Nobody doubts it. Isaiah 44:24, thus saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, he did form thee from the womb. I'm the Lord that maketh all things, stretcheth forth the heavens alone, spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. That scripture said he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Since Isaiah said that he did it alone and by himself, since John said he was in the world, and the world was made by him, the scriptures cannot lie. Jesus Christ has to be God. He has to be God according to the Word. There would be no way that you could make Jesus Christ anybody but God. Because in the beginning God did it. Isaiah said alone and by himself. And St. John said he was in the world and the world was made by him. That means the one that was alone was in the world, and the world was made by him. Somebody said, well, Brother Terry, how was he here? In the beginning, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Galatians 4:4 said, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. But the Bible said God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Under the law, if a man was in debt, he could only be redeemed by his kinfolks. Only by his kinfolks. Or he was in slavery forever. And so it was, God became us. He became kin to the human race, so he might redeem them that was under the law. How did he become kin to us? Because he was born of a woman. He became us. 1 Timothy 3:16 said, without controversy, great is the mystery of God. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. And so, what are you talking about, Brother Terry? I'm telling you something about who the King is that I am an ambassador for. Now, where are you from? From the land of God. From the land of the Lord. We're from heaven. Well, in fact, the song says, and well, we're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And so it is. What are we ambassadors for? From the country of which we are, from the sovereign, the King, we bring you evidence of who he is. Somebody said, what does an ambassador do? An ambassador cannot talk his own ideas. He says, you give him a hard question, he says, I'll have to call home. Or he says, I've got it in my briefcase. And in this, we have It's all in the Word. Therefore, the Bible said, preach the Word. Paul said, we need preach not ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is, in the land of which we're in, this wicked world, this perverse world that we're in, that we are ambassadors for, we have no message of our own. We may have a testimony that it's great. We may have a testimony that you will like it. But as far as the message itself, it comes from God. One time in the Word of the Lord, Jesus said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It didn't say beware the Pharisees. It said beware the leaven. When they found out what that was, it was their doctrine. We're not afraid of people. People can only destroy the body. But a doctrine, a false doctrine, a corrupt doctrine can cause you to miss that place that you want to go. So, leave out yourself. Preach the Word. Somebody says, you from who? You, where are you from? We're ambassadors from heaven. What does your king say about this? Well, thumb it and give it to him. I had a pastor one time, every question, I never remember asking him one question, unless it was sort of like, when are we going to have church next? If I asked him a question in the Bible, he came to my house, he was a man, a very quiet man. He did not do much talking. He usually brought a book with him and read while he was visiting in our house. I would ask him a question, he would ask from a Bible, turn and read me the answer out of the Bible, and just lay it down and give it back to me. That's it. Well, sort of shocked me, not to get any ideas or anything, but he just knew it so well that he knew where the answer was and what the answer was that he could only speak of. And so, as an ambassador, if you ever go preach, you're going into a foreign country. In fact, you will be sheep among wolves. Well, what am I going to preach? Well, you can't preach your ideas. You can't preach yourself. You have to preach the Word. So in this world of which we're in, we have to deliver a message from our King to this world. Fire it lies within you. Keep your leaven out. There would be a whole lot more people in church today if we testified to them, and after testifying to them of what God would do for them, let them read it for themselves. Nothing is more convincing than a man to read it for himself. It sort of jumps out after you, at you. Just when you read it for yourself, you first place you can read it and not see it. You can read it and not hear it. You can read it and not observe it. But if you ever get a man quiet enough and still enough and enough leaven out of him, Jess was saying it a while ago, when you came, you thought you'd better know all of us. But what happened? That's what the song said. What happened was when he began to hear, it was an entirely different picture than what the man thinks. All right. From where we are from, we just established in the Word of the Lord, if you want it, we did. Only if you want it. Isaiah 42:5 says, thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens. Thus saith God the Lord. It does not tell us one thing there that we want to know that anyone in the world would not automatically sort of still be Trinity or something besides one is. All right, but listen. Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out. And a while ago it said, I'm the Lord that makes all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. And this time he says, thus saith God the Lord. God the Lord. He that created the heavens stretched them out, and he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it. He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, and his name is not God, and his name is not Lord. For your God may be your wife. Your God could be your car. Your God, I do not know what your God is. Hello, Mike. You'll have to excuse me for that. He was at a camp meeting. Called me last night that he had a ride to Delano, and when he got there, he would call us and his mother could go after him. And dark was coming on, and no one had heard from Mike. I didn't know whether he'd joined the hippies, or he'd been kidnapped, had a wreck on the road, or was goofing off. I figured it was the last, and I imagine when it's over, I'll find out it was. But we're glad to see you, and I had some of that on my mind even while I was preaching. I wonder if Mike come home yet. Prayer request a while ago, I said, has Mike got in yet? If he cut up too much and just goofed off, he needs to be carried to the barn, a board about that long, about that wide, about that thick, and a good handle on it, and hit him about 3 times, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. And plant one is in him. Hallelujah. God bless him. Well, I'm feeling better now, Mike. You made it home. All right. Notice what this says. No matter who in the world you would ever be discussing anything with, if you would hold him to the four scriptures that I've just given you, Genesis 1:1, Isaiah 44:24, St. John 1:9-10, and Isaiah 42:5. All these scriptures in harmony. Moses spoke one, Isaiah the major prophet spoke two, and John spoke the other. And so it is. If you lay these scriptures out like they are, don't let anybody shove you around. Just I need you a minute. Bring your Bible. Don't let anybody shove you around about that one job. Come on, come on, come on. Who ever heard, come on. All right, why did you do that, Brother Gary? Because we're inclined for people to shove us around. Yeah, I did not know much about hunting, but R.C. knows how to hunt. He hunts, or he has hunted. A good dog, he said, knows how to stay on the trail, right? Right? That means you don't get him off the trail. All right, here we are on one. We're on one. We're on one God. We're ambassadors for that one God. You're pressing it. Hey, I want to ask you something. Who's King Mary?
Doesn't make any difference. We're not talking about that.
That's right. That's right. We're not talking about that. But that is off the trail. That's to get you confused. Sometimes when a fellow, you want to get him, when he's rambling on like that, you say, what's your part? And he said, well, what is my? All right, so if you take that word and stay on those four scriptures, for in 2 Corinthians 13:1, that this is the third time I'm coming unto you, in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every word can be established. Moses established in the beginning, God did it. Isaiah established, God did it alone and by himself. And John confirmed it, that he was in the world, and the world was made by him. Now, if you say he was in the world was made by him, but the Bible says he came. He came. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, everybody say faith.
Faith.
Take him for what he said right here. Faith in what? He was in the world, and the world was made by him. That is what we want to have faith in. Faith in the Word. And so, when we put faith in the Word, that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own
man in the sense of God in sundry times and divers manners, Hebrews 1 and 1, you'll find out, has different ways of approaching people. And divers manners, divers ways. So Jacob got a little old and he said, what is thy name? He said, why did you ask me what my name is? And the moment that he inquired about his name, the Bible said, and he blessed him. If you get to looking for the name of the one that was in the world was made by him, and receive it, God will bless you. But you've got to be willing to want to know what that name is. Deuteronomy 6 and 4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Ephesians 4, 5 says, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. That scripture, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, is a weighty scripture to the Jew. One of y'all read it that have it there.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy...
If you'll notice this, this is an excited bunch of people. That said, when you sit in your house, you talk about it. When you walk by the way, you talk about it. It really becomes the subject of your life. Did you hear what I said? Read on out loud.
And when thou walkest by the way.
When you walk by the way, what are you going to do? You're going to be sitting here with the Lord our God, one Lord. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. You're going to be talking about his goodness, his mercy. Something that he has done or going to do for us. What is written in the word of the Lord? It becomes our conversational piece. Read on.
And when thou liest down?
When you lie down at night, what are you going to talk about? Talk about the goodness of God. Read on.
And when thou risest up?
First thing in the morning, you get up. Thank God. Hallelujah. Made it through the night. Read on.
And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. And they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates.
Today, you write them on the tables of your heart. We studied it the other night. Give me this word that I might not sin against thee. Put it in me. One time I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'd never seen this. I passed by a house, and there was a sign on this gate. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And he had one God scripture all over his name was Ramsey. And when he read that, he thought this is just the way it ought to be, so he advertised it. Everybody in that town knew that house because all the Trinities knew that one his house because he had it to condemn them when they drove down the street. All right. Talk about it. But what my point was there, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. It does not tell us name. We are in great question, really, if we didn't know it, what the name was. But he said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's where you become the son of God, by believing on his name. In believing in his name, the Bible said, faith without works is dead. What would you do? We want to be identified with that name. When Jesus Christ comes for his church, you're going to want to be identified with your sins being paid for by Jesus Christ on Calvary. It was on Calvary that he bought or paid for your sins. What you've got to do is transform or remove your sins from you today to Calvary. And how do you do it? Acts 2.38 puts them there. But in that, you have found the name. I don't know if you understand that or not. Do they, Brother Bray?
I believe they do.
All right, then I'll keep going. All right, Deuteronomy 4.39
said, "Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart." Listen to this. That the Lord, He is God. Would you just consider that? For in a few moments of time, we're going to establish who the Lord is. And what's this got to do with us, Brother Terry? We are His ambassadors. We're what? We are His ambassadors. Whose ambassador? Know therefore this then, consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God. Would you just think for a moment of time, consider it in your mind that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then would you consider tying with that, I'm the Lord that maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Would you consider that? And He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. Would you consider that? Know therefore this then, consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God, in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, and there's none else. You one-ish, there's none else. Why we're one-ish? Is it called in Deuteronomy 6:4? No, 4:39. That's what it is. Know therefore this then, consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, and there is, how many more? None else. None else. And believing that, whoever it was, mocked us, calling us one-ish. And I think that's so cute. Old L.D. Wilson, that old one-y. Old Brother Terry got that church down there, that one-y church. The Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, and there is none else. Colossians 2:8-9 said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, rudiments of this world, and not after Christ, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers." Anything that is complete, yes, you got a dollar, you got a nickel. I saw you pick one up. Pick it up. Get it out of your pocket there. What do you... Now, what do you need to have a nickel? All right, the Bible said you're complete in Him. Well, if you're complete in Him, what does that mean? It's all. Well, and we get a title or a name, one is. Why don't one of y'all find out how to spell that word for me? It sounds to me like it would be W-O-N-I-E-S, one is, like we won something. But I guess he said it's O-N-I-E-S. I guess that. But I think it's cute. Did you know when the Lord comes, those that mock Him, that says things of Him toward that, they're going to have to swallow their words. All right. Now, we want to go to Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6. Only to those that the revelation is to. You say, "Well, Brother Terry, what do you mean? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." Upon whose shoulders? Upon the child that's born, upon the son that's given. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Now God, the name of God is, it's partly wonderful. The name Lord is partly wonderful. It depends on what God you're talking about, because there be many lords and many gods, for nearly everybody has a different Lord and a different God. Unless your one is. All right. It's talking about a son. His name, whatever that son's name is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And His name shall be called. Who to? Only the one is. Only the one is. Only to oneness people. Only to Jesus' name people shall His name be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace.
lots of people in all the denominational world put one of those titles on him, the Prince of Peace. One time when I first started this church, a lady was going to a church out at Green Acres, and they came to this church, and the pastor sent them a Christmas card. And on the Christmas card, it was stamped these words, "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." But they didn't say the rest of it. No, it didn't either. It said, "His name shall be called the Prince of Peace." The Prince of Peace. All right. On that Christmas card that they received, his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. But the same scripture that said his name shall be called the Prince of Peace, that his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He saw him as the Prince of Peace, but not as the Mighty God. Not like when you see him. Y'all don't appreciate that word, do you? I just sort of appreciate it. In fact, that's a new name for me. In fact, every once in a while in the paper, if you're reading, you'll find that they've coined a new word. Well, as far as I know, that is a new word been coined about us. Oneness. All right. So, if you'll take that one verse, yes, don't let them shove you around. Just say, no, analyze it. Break it down. Tell me what it says. And they say, well, his name shall be called. Whose name will be called? The Son. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. But don't let them crowd you. Don't let them run you around. Don't let them get you off the track. It's very interesting to listen to somebody that knows dogs. R.C. was telling me one night here how the coon hunt with a good dog. Now, I don't know. I know the difference, but good dogs just know. They just know what to do. Jess came over the other day and he told me, "Brother Terry, did you ever see dogs work?" And I said, "Well, I've seen some dogs work, but I thought I'd seen dogs work." But he was explaining how David trained dogs and how he could do it with his hand, just keep that dog going and going. And he could turn him to the right or the left. And I want to go see that. Don't give me up too early now. But you can't shoot birds in the dark. It's against the law. Isn't it? All right, Isaiah, 35th chapter of the book of Isaiah. We'll be through in just a little bit. Fourth verse, 35:4. Say to them of a fearful heart, "Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you." Who's coming? God. Wonder why I didn't tell me his name. It's God's coming. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened." When who comes?
God.
"The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap into the heart. The tongue of the dumb shall sing. And in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert." One of you young men real quick. See which one of you can find me the scripture real quick where John was in prison. Read it.
"Now when John had heard in the prison of the work of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. They said unto him, How art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?"
All right, who's coming? John knew the old scriptures. He knew that God was coming. When he came, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, shall be unstopped, then shall the lame man leap into the heart." And what did he tell John? Tell him to tell John.
"Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again the things that ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are clean, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up."
Don't read me Isaiah 7:10.
Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above.
Isn't that something? He said, ask a sign. Now listen to this. That, you know, he said, anywhere you want to ask it, in the heaven above or upon the earth beneath, anything, just ask one. A sign. But what did he say?
When Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord.
Read on.
And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David. It is a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good.
All right, somebody give me the scripture that goes with that. What is it?
Luke 1:21.
Read it.
Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted as God with us.
How many gods are there? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I am the Lord thy God, maketh all things. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Hey, as an ambassador, the ambassadors before us told of a God coming. The other day, our president, I don't know if he'd gone any place or not yet. He went to Canada. But the ambassador for Canada knew it before the president knew it. I mean, before it, the news media had it, that Reagan was going somewhere. Our God is coming to the earth. The ambassadors for God before the world, before Jesus Christ came, notified the world that God was coming. I'm telling you how to live, but God's coming. Our King is coming. And this scripture confirms it with Matthew 1:23. Read like this, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And so, now, the next verse, well, first place, I'd like you to read Luke 2:11. Luke 2:11, read like what? How many lords are there? All right. That still hadn't told us anything. But when we read Matthew 1:25, it tells us what the Lord or God's name is, or the baby that was born. Did any one of you have it? Read it. You have it. I'll read it. And knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. That was the son that was to be born. Now, if you go to Acts 9:1-5, and everybody, ever Jesus' name apostolic, if you don't know this verse or these five verses, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. This one verse, these five verses, of 9:1-5, the Acts of the Apostles, answers every other verse that I've read to you tonight. In name of God, in name of Lord, in name of Emmanuel, in name God, Lord, and Emmanuel. Read it, Jess.
Saul yet reading out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus and to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest.
That name, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That is the name of that one Lord, that one God, that one Son, whose name is called Wonderful. That's the name of the Wonderful One, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That is His name. The Bible said he came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And his name is Jesus, but he'll make a one out of you. I like that. I still like that. That is when you're having a discussion with somebody. If you let them shove you around, you will, you'll get them, they'll win the case. They will not win the case what's written, but you will not stop the mouths of gainsayers. But if you use that word, it just, anybody ever, you ever see it, what they call a devil's pin cushion in the cactus world? Well, honey, if you take your shoe off and ever kick one of them, you will know what it means, kick against the pricks. Well, when you start fighting this word, it'd be just like kicking one of those devil's pin cushions. They're a little old round. They look just like that. But they've got thorns on them about that long. But you don't move them with sticks, so to speak. You don't pull them out. They're tough. And if you kick them, brother, there's blood in the sap. You will get blood. And it's hard for you to kick against the bricks. All right. Isaiah 42. And 8 says, I'm the Lord, that is my name. My glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I'll not give to another. If their God was different from Jesus Christ, I want you to know that Jesus Christ, as Lord, has the glory. Hear what I said? Isaiah 43:9 said, let all the nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is true. 10th verse. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Listen to the strength of it. I listen every once in a while. I hear the Mormons talk, and I hear radio preachers talking, that they have no weight, they have no understanding, and they have no saving grace. But people sit and listen and eat it by the hours. But Jesus' name, people, are hard to comprehend, or to desire, or to hunger and thirst after it. They think that I know it. Don't ever get... Every man's right in his own eyes. You think you know it? The Bible said he sendeth your neighbor to search you out. Which one of you out there think you know it pretty good? Leonard Dan's been doing it pretty good. If you want to let me question you, see how good you know it, come up here and we'll close the Bible and let me start asking you questions. You say, well, I know it in my mind if I don't know it in my voice. Well, then if you know it in your mind and don't know it in your voice, you cannot protect yourself or stop the mouth of the gainsayer. You've got to be able to show them, tell them where it is, and tell them what it means. Otherwise, they'll shove you around. They'll shove you around. All right. So much for that. Now that one we had there, it said, let everybody, that's every nation, every kingdom, everybody in the world, bring them together, and if they can prove or show, let them bring forth their witnesses. If they don't have any witnesses to prove their doctrine, then tell them, let them shut up, this says. Ye are my witness, saith the Lord, my servants whom I have chosen. It says, 9th verse, let all the nation be gathered together, let the people be assembled.
Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. If they cannot tell you or prove to you the Trinity, if they cannot prove to you more than one God, then let them shut up and say what we're giving them is truth. But what they do, they mock us and say, oh, one is. Hallelujah, I still like that. I said, I still like you. You may not. I'm not falling out with you. Eighth verse of the 44th chapter. I wish you would listen to it very carefully. You know what it said? It said, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have I not told thee from that time and have declared it? You're even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God, I know not any. Where are you from? We are an ambassador. For who? Well, for God. And what did he say? He said, is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God, I know not any. Hey, the preacher wants to talk to me. My preacher wants to talk to me. What did that say? Fear not, neither be afraid. What did it say? Have I not declared it? Read it.
You are even my witness. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any.
But he said, fear not. So don't go down there and say, oh my God. Oh my God. That fellow one down there was debating his candlelight. And that Camelite, I thought he knew something that I didn't know. I've told you all this, but it's still so. It happened. And I've never debated anybody in public, so when I needed a drink, I was really shaking. So to let him know, so he wouldn't know I was shaking, I drank like this. Then he got up and he's going to prove there was three gods, three separate and distinct persons in the Godhead, and he said, he went to John baptizing Jesus. He said, here Jesus is one, the voice is two, and the dove is three. And I said, when I got it, oh, then I began to feel the rock under me. I heard him. I said, would you have that read? He said, there are three separate and distinct persons in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Three separate, co-equal and co-eternal. And when I got up, I said, I would hate to go bird hunting with you or dove hunting. It took that audience just a little bit to hit him. He had just called a dove a person. And if you don't know the difference between a dove and a person, I'd hate to go hunting with you, dove hunting. But his audience laughed at him so much that it embarrassed him. Once it dawned on them what it was. But this said, fear not, neither be afraid. Have I not told thee and declared it? Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God, I know not any. We are an ambassador to the only God that is and was and will ever be. I like that too. 45:5. I'm the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. I gird thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun, from the west. There is none beside me. I'm the Lord, and there is none else. Can you? Now, the one reason there's a lot of Trinity preachers in the world is they have never stopped to hear one is preach. And if they would stop and hear him preach, without prejudice, without tradition, they would have to come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is God. Now, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 5:14. Don't go away with you. You ought to eat this up. In fact, every saint in here that's been in here 3 years ought to have all this memorized. Brother Terry,
Okay. I say you ought to be have it memorized. He said, well, I don't have it memorized. I'm afraid that. Trinity can explain Trinity through tradition. They can explain Trinity through common sense. But this is not with common sense. This is miracle. This is God. For with God, nothing is impossible. And so it is, they said, well, anybody knows that he couldn't send himself. What are you doing? I'm sending for some bananas. Who's going? Me? I thought you said you were sending for some bananas. That's right. And did you say you was going after them? You're not sending for any bananas. You're going to go get some. He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. All right. 5 and 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then all were dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but to him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Catch his scripture. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth we know him no more. We know no man after the flesh. We want to know, have you been born again? After the flesh, you're all Gentiles. After the flesh, everybody's a heathen. After the flesh, everybody's dead. We don't know a man after the flesh. This said, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. How do we know him? Have you been born again? And if you haven't been born again, you're just a sinner. Read on. Therefore, 17th verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the word of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and is committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Brother George, you know what that said? It said the whole world is lost. But he has committed unto you the word of reconciliation. The next verse says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are on official business in this world with a message from heaven.
Amen.
So you can get it back a little further. To wit, 19th verse, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses on them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That is sort of like an attorney. I want to give this to you. Most of you have heard it. Yes, no, you knew this. Robbie gets blown out on you. You knew that, didn't you? And Jeff comes to me and he says, Brother Terry, I need Robbie back home. She's gone. I try to call her. She won't answer. Don't even want to talk. Everybody that I've tried every way, no go. I said, let me go talk to her. Well, I go talk to Robbie and I come back to her. Hey, yes, you want Robbie back?
Yeah.
She gave
Your dad's a member. You repeat his name apostolic frequently, Cody. Somebody said, I want to be saved. And a man just said something. And a message said something else. But as ambassadors for Christ, we cannot deliver anything to what the Word says. You must be born again. Of water and of the Spirit. How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter the second time in the mother womb to be born? Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, I plan to get another way. Although, be reconciled to God. Well, what make you so important? I am his ambassador. I got another ambassador. You! Because you will tell me that I don't have to listen to that. I like that. Don't have to listen to what? He's going to give me another. Oh, you don't have to do that. All you do is receive him as your personal savior. And you got it, boy! He's going to make you do a bunch of work.
And if you're ever born, I guarantee somebody works. Somebody works. And you can be born in water and spirit without some work. Faith without work is dead, being alone. So what do you do? You don't believe. If you're that pastor's Christ does, oh, what is it? You made everyone work for God. One thing about it, if you win of God's way, you've got one, and the other guy never got anybody if he didn't win of God's way.
Right.
So, the guy asked me one time, he said, he got embarrassed. He said, how many of y'all get saved last night? I said, none. I think he said, we got 25. What? Why? How did he get 25? He did not use the message of reconciliation. The message of reconciliation is you must be born again. Of what? And of the Spirit. And if you're not reconciled to that message, you're not reconciled to God. God is still against you because the love of Christ working first, the love of Christ constrains us, because we must judge if one died for all, that's all dead. Yet everybody did. Get everybody dead. And then let everybody want to be saved. Jesus said, out the door.
And then come up any other way to save us if they are wrong. So what can you do? Is get that 238. Get that 238.
But Brother Jerry, I've been preaching 120 years. Noah said, should have said, and have got the 8 souls. Honey, the only ones that want saved, you saved them. You had the message of reconciliation. Did you hear it? He had the message. It's the moment. It's the ark. What happened to all the other preachers and their converts?
I tell you what I think happened to them. When old Noah turned that bunch of varmints out in the earth, they had a lot of that purpose in me.
Be reconciled to God. Humble yourself to this word. Love this word. Be convinced that you've got the message.
And don't let anybody shut you up.
If you let me explain it to you, I'll help you. But if you don't want me to explain it to you, you don't want to run out here and get on this cold, turkey trail. Who is Cain, man? Old Bishop Lewis has the best answer I know. He got a bride from the land of Nod, and he said, Nod, you're asleep. He married his sister. And he's asleep. But he just, he said that for him.
Because he got it out of the land of Nod. And so it is. Be ye reconciled to God. David, you're just coming in. Did you listen to this message tonight? Do you have anything you want to ask me? Is there anything that I left out?
I can't come up with any questions.
All right, then it says you acknowledge it so.
It's
so. Okay, that's all. I understand. You say, well, Brother Jerry's been saying that for a week. I told him if he'd listen to me preach 12 messages, I'd turn him loose with the devil. Well, the devil Well, he's already been turned loose with the devil's ambassadors, or those that already had him. But if you listen to this message laid out, it is, you cannot tear this down. But if you take it shotgun, just here a little, there a little, blowing up and getting off on was. Just a minute. I know you're talking about Jesus' name baptism. Excuse me, but was that an apple or a pear? And where did they get the idea that that was an apple that Eve ate? The Bible, I read that about 20 times looking for, say, apple, and just said fruit. So you get your Bible, let's read it. No, I'm not going to read that no 20 times with you. It's just what it said was. We get back on the trail. Don't forget Sunday school in the morning. I enjoyed teaching you. I want to ask you something. When there's a new convert here, and they're just coming in and wanting to learn, that first love is reaching across their mind and their heart. Every living human in this house ought to have patience enough to want them to receive it and hear it. And while they're hearing it, you're to be refreshed because of the fact that you have found the way. Don't forget out back what's going on. It's an ice cream parlor. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.